Good morning again. It's my understanding that this session is to begin at 11 o'clock and end at 11:45, the Lord willing. So suppose that there may be a few filtering in along the way, but as my dad used to say, the way to get finished is to get started. So let's begin with prayer. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for this time that we have spent together as teachers. Thank you for the communities represented. And this morning, Lord, we want to spend a little time thinking about working in the energy of the Spirit. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, his work, his finished work on Calvary, his victory in resurrection, and the promise that he made when he left, that he would send the Comforter, he would send the Holy Spirit who would lead us into all truth. Lord, this morning we subject ourselves to that Spirit and open our hearts and ask you to enter to this place, to bless, to give courage, to give words, to correct where we're wrong, to inspire what we need inspiration, and help us to walk even as Christ walked. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking here for some time now, the last couple of days, about developing as a teacher. And I know that there are various representations here of years of experience, development, broad spectrum of experiences and all that. And so this morning I just join you as a fellow teacher to look here at this last subject that has been assigned to me under it's a subtitle, under developing as a teacher. And this is working in the energy of the Spirit. Very pertinent subject. I know what it's like to work in the arm of the flesh. I'll be fair with you. Sometimes it even seems to work. We do have energy of the flesh. You see me here in my body, and I ate this morning, and there's some energy has been produced. And you see a certain exercise of it. And it seems sometimes that there's a fine line between working out of the flesh and working in the Spirit. But there's an old song that we sing sometimes that I think pretty well says it. Stand up for Jesus. You know the song. And in that song it says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Just remember that the arm of the flesh, though it exists, though I stand here in a body of the flesh, it's not enough, and not only is it not enough, but it fails. And I'm just old enough to actually know something about that truth. You heard my son talk a little bit about running this morning, and you know there was a day when it's been back a little ways now, but there was a day when I could keep up with the boys and maybe even stay ahead of them. But the arm of flesh will fail you. In the end, it will not carry you through. I know that from experience, and yet I don't get beyond that problem sometimes. Even in teaching, various levels of skill here, some of you with sort of natural, innate skill at teaching, speaking, making, communicating, getting your ideas across, handling people, you can still, even though you're very good at that, be functioning out of the flesh rather than out of the Spirit. And the call here this morning is to work out of the energy of the Spirit. And I'm confessing to you up front that I know too much about the activity of the flesh. And I'm not talking about it in the sense of carnality and this and that and the other thing, but just simply trusting in my own capacity and my own ability to accomplish this, that, and the other thing. It's been good to grow a little older because when it used to be that, well, just get up a little earlier. Just go to bed a little bit later. Just work a little harder. Just reach back for a little more energy somewhere and pull it up and get on with what needs to be gotten on with. Well, I want to thank the Lord for that energy, but I want to tell you, I'm old enough now to feel it waning. It just isn't there the way it used to be. And so if I'm running with the boys or something like that, and where I used to reach back for a little more energy just to give it a little bit more, and you reach back, it just ain't there. Okay, well, it's good, I think, in some ways to find out. The arm of the flesh will fail you. Well, this morning, we don't want to talk so much about that. We want to talk about what it means to work as teachers in the energy of the Spirit. What I'm going to do this morning is actually just on the overheads or on the PowerPoint here, you're just going to see some verses pointed out and even a number of them a little bit sketchy. How do you talk about working in the energy of the Spirit? After all, we have some verses like we find in the book of John that says, look, the Spirit blows where it listeth. And who knows where it came from and where it went and how it actually works. But really, all we see is the results of the blowing of that wind. And you run into people like this periodically. I hope very, very often you run into people and you say, my, where does that all come from? Well, the energy of the Spirit blows where it listeth. And we don't really quite know where it comes from and how it works. Really, this morning, I'm not going to be telling you how it works. Essentially, what I'm going to tell you what it looks like. And then invite you to do as God has said, and that is, look, you know what Jesus said one time when he was talking about asking God for things? He said, look, if you're lacking the Holy Spirit, well, ask him. He'll give it to you. I have made that a practice to regularly ask God for the Spirit of God to fall on me. So anyway, back to my point here, you're going to see verses, essentially. I'd invite you to jot them down. If there's anything here that I'd like for you to do, it's jot down these verses and during this year sometime, pull some of them up. Look at them and think about what the significant pieces are. Here's a beginning verse from Zechariah. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm pulling it just a tad bit out of context if you're familiar with the context there, but it speaks well to the issue here. If we are to be successful as teachers in our schools, and if our schools are in fact to connect with the community and young folks so that as the years go by and the Lord tarries, that there is faith on the earth, and it will not be because of Melvin Layman's energy, passion, and power, but it will be because of the Spirit of the Lord. And it's good for us to know that. So we're focusing there a bit this morning. First passage that I would like to look at, if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to these because I probably will look a little more deeply than what's on the PowerPoint. That's just to prompt you and to give you something to look at. Book of Daniel. So remember what we're looking at here, asking ourselves, what does it look like? Because we're admitting up front, I can't give you the Spirit, you can't give me the Spirit, and there, again, it's not formulaic. It's not something that you go and find a formula and make it work for you, and now the Spirit is upon you, and off you go. But we know, we have some ideas to what direction we're looking, and what it ought to look like. And so, for Daniel, great stories, one of the great stories out of the Bible. Read some statistics one time that indicated that the two stories that are the best known around the world by both Christian and non-Christian, the first one is David and Goliath, and the second one is Daniel and the lion's den. Those are the two most well known. films, movies made from them. I remember even during the era of communist Russia, they had a film over there that they showed. It was David and Goliath, and another one, Daniel in the Lion's Den. Fascinating. Great stories. Well, there's more to it than just a story. You know the background here. I'm just wanting to read a couple of verses to you out of chapter 5. The context here is Belshazzar, the handwriting on the wall, and his great consternation when this hand appears and begins to write on the wall. But now what do I do? Verse 10 of chapter 5. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. And I have underlined in my Bible, there is a man. And these are the beginning words up here. There is an interface between flesh and spirit. You know that? We don't trust in the arm of the flesh, but I am here in the flesh and am functioning in the flesh. I hope not out of the flesh, but I have a physical body here that I'm working. There is a man. She said, "What? I am so delighted, so blessed with those words, those beginning words. Belshazzar, son, there is a man." He goes on to say, "In thy kingdom," and then the telling words, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Now, that's how the queen talked about it. She uses the spirit of the holy gods. I probably just seeing whatever was happening in Daniel, whatever it was that was the secret to his existence. She did not recognize it as the Holy Spirit or the spirit of the only God, but she recognized there was a power, a divine energy upon this man that was not explainable, or you couldn't explain just in terms of his own fleshly energy and power. There was something outside of that. As teachers, I think that's what we need to go after. And if there is anything that I know I can't make happen, but I hope that happens in my lifetime as a teacher, is that when students think of me, that they don't think of my skill, my ability, or this or that, but there is a man in whom the spirit, in the queen's words, of the holy gods is upon. She goes on to say what that looks like. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, just what teachers need, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, mind you, the king, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Why? For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, aren't those great teacher skills? Interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, and I really like the last one, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel. Now remember, she identifies the reason right to begin with. The spirit of the holy gods is in him. She goes on to say, the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show thy interpretation. Let there be many Daniels in our classrooms. Let there be many ladies who have the spirit of Daniel, or that same spirit, step into our classrooms. And I point out to my point here is that the secret to Daniel's powerful message is right there. Now, I do want to remind you immediately that that's not the only thing about Daniel. This is going to step a little bit in the other direction. The Spirit of God moving in our lives is not, in using us powerfully, is not just, as Kyle was saying, it's not a turn on, turn off thing. It's a way of life, and it involves more than, oh, now I need the Spirit of God just right now. And so, God, turn it on. I need the Spirit today. I don't need Him tomorrow. Part of the genius of Daniel's life does actually rest in his daily habits. Do you know what, something? The story of Daniel in the lion's den, I don't think would even be in the Bible if he had not had a habit. It was a good habit. He had a habit of praying 3 times a day with windows open toward Jerusalem. You know the story. Okay? That sounds a little bit like something that maybe the flesh is involved in. Yeah, it's something, you know, it's a routine thing. I have to bring my flesh under it. I'd get up and open those windows and pray, and at midday I'd do the same thing. But you know the story as well as I do. If he had not been a man who had those, that regular prayer time, the whole story of the Daniel of Lion's Den kind of is couched in that thing. They said, "Where can we? What can we get him for? What can we get him for?" Oh, we know what he does. He prays 3 times a day, and we know what he's going to do. We'll get him. My point here is, when you think about working in the energy of the Spirit, and you think about Daniel, and you read those great passages like you see there in chapter 5, remember, he was a typical person like you are, who has the typical habits. When I say typical habits, I mean the resistance to good habits that all of us have. But that was part of his life too that made him the person that he was, whom the Spirit of God could move through and use so powerfully in the situations that he did. So I don't want this to be a pie in the sky by and by session where, okay, if I can just pray long enough that the Lord pours out his Spirit on me, then in fact I'll be able to work out of the energy of the Spirit. That working out of the energy of the Spirit is a package of life. It involves the disciplines of the flesh. It involves the disciplines of the Spirit. It involves the spiritual disciplines. It involves a whole list of things so that on the moment that crisis is upon us, and now you just stop and think about Daniel being led into that banquet hall. Never anticipating such a thing in his life at all. It wasn't that he walked through the door and then all of a sudden all the lights came on and now the Spirit fell upon him and he made sense of everything. I'm saying that's the way he walked. The Bible says walk in the Spirit. So when he walked in and he took a look at those words, and he saw a few Hebrew words up there. They did need some interpretation. You know the story. He said, "Oh, you know, I can tell you the interpretation." And he does. So, this dissolving of doubts, may we ourselves, as we stand before our classes, work in this kind of energy exhibited by the Holy Spirit in Daniel. Next set of verses that I would like to bring to your attention are New Testament verses, ones that you're very familiar with. Working in the energy of the Spirit goes like this, as soon as I get to the right place. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And you can see I inserted there the word teach. That's not the entire full-orbed notion of prophesying, but certainly a part of it. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And of course, it says more. You recognize this passage is coming from the passage where of Pentecost. I literally believe this, and I pray in this direction. I'm not a young man anymore. I don't consider myself an extremely old man either, but I look across this group of people. I see most of you younger than I am, if you're not, both the ladies and the gentlemen here. But look what it says here. I just want you teachers to know that there's at least one person who prays sometimes along this line, "Dear God, raise up men and women in our day for our classrooms who are filled with the Holy Spirit." And I mean that more than just simple pious religious jargon. That's what we need. And I said, "Lord, raise them up." Now, let me tell you something, if you happen to be my age, and I know most of you are not. So these young whippersnappers, they stand up and they begin to talk and teach. And you think, oh my goodness, where are they going with that? What are they doing with this? Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Listen, I like visionaries. And young as you are, if you happen to be in that category, may the Spirit of God be upon you, and may He give you much vision, and may He give you much energy and much strength for the generations to come. I invite any who cares to join me in almost a daily prayer along that line. May the Holy Spirit of God fall upon us, working in the energy of the Spirit. The next passage that I would like to bring to your attention is in Galatians, and it is the passage that you're very familiar with. Remember, I'm admitting to you that I don't have buttons to push, and neither do you, and there are no formulas to make the Holy Spirit do this, that, or the other thing. But we have an idea of what it looks like. And here in Galatians chapter 5, we have probably the most concise explanation or the most concise illustration of what the Spirit of God looks like. We know that God is moving in people when we see this type of thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Very familiar to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There's a good teacher word. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, think about that when you're in the classroom. Does that mean that it's always a pat on the back? There's never a rebuke? There's never... Now, when you actually think about these words, and I'm not going to take the time to unpack this for sure this morning, but the fact of the matter is it means that is the Spirit that we bring into the classroom. Some of you have heard me say this before. When the Spirit of God is on you and you're living this way, you're walking in the Spirit, then these really are the things that sort of ooze from your bones. Students then know that you love them and you care about them. And if they know that, you can make a lot of mistakes, and they will forgive you every time. But if they have a sneaking suspicion that you are working out of something other than the characteristics I'm talking about here, and when the discipline or whatever it is begins to come forth from you, if they think that this is something personal or it's coming out of your flesh or whatever, I always say they will crucify you. I'm amazed at this. It astounds me. I have talked with teachers who are good teachers. They had master's degrees. They were excellent at what they were doing in that sense. But boy, if the students weren't quite sure, if this was in place, I really struggled as a teacher. I have seen others who were not really outstanding teachers as far as pedagogy is concerned, but boy, they loved their students deeply and profoundly. And the joy and the peace and the temperance and those things were in place, and God could bless them, and they did well in the classroom. And I think had long-term effect on students. Here's another verse that is worth thinking about in this same context. If we looked at the passage in Isaiah 42, and I'm not going to take the time to actually turn there and look at it, but it's talking about the Spirit. It begins, the Spirit of God is upon me, upon His servants. And it gives a description of what it's like, and he says this, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Now, this is a fascinating verse, and you know it's quoted in the New Testament as a description of Christ. And I hold it that way. Those descriptions of Christ and how the Spirit of God moved in Christ should give us an indication of what we ought to be like as Christians. After all, we're followers of Christ. So in the classroom, working out of the energy of the Spirit, It's that teacher who is walking up and down the aisles with books in hands or grading papers or discipling a student or maybe even disciplining a student or who knows what it may be, but in his heart and in his mind and in his actions, a bruised reed shall he not break. And if there's just a little bit of spark there somewhere, he'll stand back and, if you've ever seen this, blowing that thing a little bit and try to get it just to burst into flame. Work hard at trying to bring out the very best in that student. That's what Jesus did. Careful not to break the bruised reed. Careful to blow gently on that spark that is there. And God give us wisdom to see those sparks. God give us wisdom to see those sparks. I could tell you a story or so here. Maybe I'll insert one for the sake of time, not too much here. Remember a student that had back at Anchor Christian School, labeled ADHD. And my opinion is there are some true ADD people, and there are many who are labeled that who are not. This gentleman, though, if there ever was a genuine ADD person, he was. Very good parents. His parents had disciplined him regularly and cared for him and loved him and so on. he was a very fascinating student. I did two things about him that I'll never forget. He went to the same church I went to at that time, and we'd kneel down to pray, and after we had kneeled down to pray, you had never, no idea. I'll call him John. That wasn't his name. John would surface anywhere in the congregation. I'm serious. Back under the chairs, and who down? You just says, I can still see his dad get up and sit down. And where's John? Where's this boy? First grade, I recall that this gentleman, first grade teacher, came to me and said, I am frustrated. I don't know what to do. John sits in the very front seat, but he just looks back. He's got a rubber neck. He's always looking back over his shoulder. Must have sit him in the back. I mean, after all, back rows are not just for good students. Put him in the back. So she put him in the back. I peeked through the door. I was supposed to fast. I never have seen anything like this before nor since, but there were lunch boxes and coats right behind him. I don't know what he was looking at, but it was those lunch boxes and coats. Yeah. Got a chuckle out of that one. but teachers were patient with him. Teachers were careful with him. I finally got him in seventh grade, and I don't remember if I was still there when he graduated from high school or not. But today, you'd have no idea that he was labeled ADD. Absolutely none. I know that wasn't because of me. It was because of teachers who were careful. A bruised reed shall he not break. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. And he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. In the end, it will turn in the right direction. Now, I know not all stories turn out that way. But that's what we're talking about. That patience, if the Spirit of God is upon us in the classroom, hear me right. It doesn't mean that we don't discipline. I do. But it means always in the context of thinking about that broken reed and trying to gently straighten it up and let it heal. Blowing on that spark that is there and getting it to burst into flame. May God give us grace to do such. Next set of verses that I would like to point out to you. Isaiah chapter 61. Probably, you know, we have our favorite passages, and as some of my parishioners at the church I go to say, well, Brother Belvin, his favorite passage begins at Genesis 1:1 and ends at Revelation 22, because I'm always saying this is one of my favorite passages. Well, okay. Isaiah 61 is great passage, again, prophetic about Christ as we understand it, but the writer Isaiah probably would not have known that when he wrote it. And I take it to my own heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There you have the Spirit. Because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Let me stop there for just a moment. I think I'll use the brother's name here. Brother John D. Martin, I taught with for a number of years. He was known as a tough teacher. Students who had him knew that you did not mess around in John D. Martin's classroom. I feel like I'm telling a tale a little bit out of town here, but we'll see how it goes. He taught in a certain community. I won't tell you what community, before he taught in Chambersburg. And he was actually hired there because there was a classroom of students who I think it was about 17 boys and two girls in that classroom, and they had ran three teachers out of town the year before. So they hired this tough cookie from Greencastle and said, we'll see how it goes. Well, and he told me with his own mouth, he said, I never spanked so many students in my life as I did that year. But the end of the year came, and the next year they transferred him to another classroom that these same students were going to be in. Plus, another group was giving them a little bit of a hassle. And he said, you know, Brother Melvin, I'll never forget the first day of school. He said, the first day of school, they didn't know I was listening, but I came in, and I was sitting down at my desk or working around. And here there was a group of boys, kind of the ringleaders of this, back in the corner somewhere. And they were talking among themselves. And he said, I could hear them. I guess it was of the Lord. I could hear what they were saying. And they said, one of them said, boy, are we ever in for it this year. This is going to be a tough, tough year. This guy is nasty. And the real ringleader spoke up and he said, I think you have it wrong. He said, what I've observed is Brother Martin is fair and he cares about his students. And the best I can tell, if you give him a fair shake, we'll get the shake of our life. Well, praise the Lord. He said it was one of the best years he ever had. Now, the point is I'm not talking about just soft pedaling everything. I'm talking about walking and teaching in such a fashion in the classroom that actually it's good news. This man was saying to this young student was saying to his fellow students, it's good news. We've got a teacher here that, look, you'll learn something. If you just cooperate with him, this will be a great year. If you don't, yeah, it'll be, I don't know if he said this, but it probably won't be a very nice year. Well, praise the Lord. But let's go on in this passage. I like what it says. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the right time, and the day of vengeance of our God, that's in this passage, to comfort all that mourn. Most people miss that one, proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. It's in there. There's a time to say. It's time to shape up. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And here's a phrase that I pick up on here then with the words that you can see, that they might be called trees of righteousness, and I've highlighted their they. Who is they? I'd like for you to think of your students. And the work, if the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, I'm telling you, He has called you to similar work. And I like to, I can't say I do this very often, but now and then I like to look down across my list of students with Isaiah 61 open before me and ask myself some questions and call them trees of righteousness. That they should be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. So think of those students. Get outside of these verses. Think about it in real life. Just exactly where you're at working with students and understand what God wants to do with this group of people. But let's go on. It says more about it. And they shall build the old waste. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Have you been disappointed with church and community and life and things just not going well and wondering what in the world's going on? Well, I suggest to you that you take a little time to let the Lord move through you in these trees of righteousness because they shall build the old waste. The desolations, it says, of many generations, working in the energy of the Spirit, is seeing something in that group of students that is not all that obvious when you're there standing in front of them and trying to coax them through this and coax them through that and get them to do this and get them to do that. They're trees of righteousness. If one is working out of the energy of the Spirit, see what it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and they will have the capacity. I have some confidence in this. They will have the capacity to take what my generation has not done well with and actually restore it by the grace of God. I will admit to you, there are moments when this slips past me. Young man standing in my office one time. He was a former student of mine. Now he was an adult. And I married, had two children, I think, at the time or something like that. And we were talking about life, and he was kind of reflecting on a few things. And then he startled me with a question. He said, "Brother Melvin, I have a question for you. Do you trust that me," and then he named another brother, another young brother about his age, they were about 25, that would you trust the two of us to actually carry forth with the Word of God as you perceive it ought to be? And I looked at him and I said, would I trust you? And I kind of stuttered and stumbled, and because we were having a little bit, there was a little tension and a little bit of this, you know, that and the other thing. I don't even remember how I answered the question, but I'll never forget the question. Because the fact of the matter is, that kind of confidence, I think, we can push into the future if we are working out of the energy of the Spirit. If we're working out of the energy of the flesh, I doubt it. But through the Spirit of God, I have some confidence that the work I'm doing today in the classroom will help to raise up some trees of righteousness, and these men and these women will have the capacity to restore the old desolations and build up the old waste places. And it says another place in Isaiah, and I do some new things too. And they move forward. You know, I'm ready to quit teaching if I don't have any confidence in that at all. What's the point? But it gives me energy if I can trust God to take what work we have done and the investment that... Don't you know that your labor is not in vain, the Bible says. Now be assured, there are moments that I have big questions. And the passage ends there. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. What a powerful, powerful passage to consider. Coming back to the New Testament, seem to be through here by quarter of, not I believe. We'll work that direction. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. The reason I have verse 6 here is because we often quote verse 7 without remembering the particular context. Paul speaking to Timothy here, he first of all reminds Timothy that the same faith is in him that was in his mother. Okay, so talking about the Spirit of God and the passing on from generation to generation. Then he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." You know, I still don't quite understand exactly what Paul was talking about here. Was it a mystical putting on of his hands, and that there was a gift? I mean, we lay on hands and we ordain, and we believe that that God does actually move in special ways through that kind of laying on of hands. But I would like for you to think about it just a little bit more generally. "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God," speaking to a student now, "which was put in thee, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, by my work as a teacher." And then he tells us why we can do this. "For God hath not," this is the negative maybe, "he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That last part meaning a disciplined life. And so this is the way a teacher who is working in the energy of the Spirit is not afraid, but is walking in faith that God will accomplish what he said he would. And the last verse I have for you, I am delighted with myself. I'm actually finishing a little bit ahead of time. Working in the energy of the Spirit, very, 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 very simple statement. Coming back to, this is Galatians 5 again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I put the word teach in here. Again, I'm reminding you, this is not something, or I'm telling you, we don't turn it on, we don't turn it off. If we live in the Spirit, well, then let us teach in it. From the same perspective. And what I'm encouraging you to do is over this next year, as you, if you get a chance, just take these couple of simple verses that gives us an idea of what it looks like to actually teach out of the energy or within the energy of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that God will bless your teaching this year. We've covered a lot of ground here, said a lot of things. I hope it's been helpful. When you're in the trenches during the school year, may God give you grace and energy and His Holy Spirit to guide, direct, and inspire. Thank you. Lord be with you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.